I've got big, huge, massive news. Okay, so did you miss out on registering for our spring summer program? It's not too late. We are opening up 1,000 spots starting today. Maybe you got into the program and you're realizing this is amazing. Everybody should be doing this. Or I know so many people who would love this. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. And if it's you, you're the one who didn't get signed up, run, don't walk over to our website, GWB.com. The first 1,000 people to sign up are in. Otherwise, you have to wait until our next program that doesn't start until the fall. Go. What are you waiting for?
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Welcome to Spill the Tea. It's going to be a whole vibe today because our guest today, Robin Hahn, is a whole vibe, honestly. 32-year-old opera singer, theater director, disability activist. She's on her third official group. The first one, she didn't get into the group, so she was a bit of a Livy lurker. Now, down 40 pounds. And of course, she has a story, started dieting when she's 11 years old, and life has not been easy for her. So let's meet Robin. Hello. Hi.
Hi, Gina. It is lovely to chat with you today.
Right back at you. I was just saying behind the scenes, I was telling Robin I was lurking on your Instagram account last night, and you are a whole vibe, my goodness. So first of all, thanks for joining us. It's never easy to share your journey, but you are an active member in our community every day, posting, setting intentions. You know, you really don't need any introduction around here, but let me start with, how did you find out about our program? How'd you find out about us?
Sure. I was actually in rehearsal for a show. No, I wasn't even in rehearsal at the time. We were doing auditions, and I was talking to a colleague of mine. I was the director for this opera.
Okay.
And the music director for the opera, and I were chatting just sort of between auditions, and somehow we got onto the topic of, you know, history of dieting, of toxic dieting, and then of weight loss. And she was like, "Have you heard of the Livy method?" And I was like, "No." And she was so excited. She was just like, she's just, her name is Adette. She's been in the group for lots of time. She said I could say hi. So hi, Adette. And she and I are actually doing a show again together right now. We're rehearsing for here in Vancouver. So we're coming back and doing it as sort of a Livy loser artistic band, because she's the conductor and
amazing
stage director. Yes. And the rest is history. She said here's the podcast link, just go listen to it whenever you're ready. And I, after auditions that day, I was like, okay, and I'm getting ready to drive home because it's a 1,000-year-long drive from where we do this show to my house. And I, you know, set it up on my phone and put it through the car. And you were like 2 or 3 days past the deadline of that group. Mm-hmm. And you happened that live to say something about how, which is, you know, something you say all the time, but, you know, it was the right thing for me right at that moment. You were saying, you didn't fail at the diets failed you. And I like burst into ugly tears in my car. I couldn't drive for like a while. I just sat there outside the theater, because it was exactly what I needed to hear. Because of course, you know, I've been doing this for a really long time. Yeah. And I've tried all the things. I've tried all the fads. A lot of them worked, you know, worked in the sense that I lost a lot of weight.
Sure.
But, you know, fundamentally, they're not designed for me to keep it off. So I didn't.
Yeah, I want to, I just sort of want to get into how you did your first program without actually getting into the group. But let's take it back since, you know, obviously that really connected with you that, you know, you've done all the diets and it's not your fault. It's just the way those diets were designed. Never sustainability. Let's go back to your first diet at the age of 11. So you were a dancer, very intense with classic ballet, and your ballet teacher recommended, despite the fact you weren't overweight, that you go on a diet.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she, it was a very serious ballet school. And, she didn't mean any harm by it. It was just, I was 11 and I got puberty early. I hit puberty at age 9. So by 11, I had curves, you know, that, in the ballet world are not supposed to be there. I was fit. I looked like a normal 11-year-old who was exercising 5 times a week because I was in ballet school that often. But that was not what was expected of me. So I started, food restricting essentially. And calorie restricting, like there was a sort of calorie, from a very young age. And my mom, whom I love dearly, and we are very good friends. And so she was helping me with this and on the calendar every day, we would write in my weight. I have, then this is a sort of, this is a core memory for me, is seeing the calendar with my varied weights as a child. It stays with you. It stays with you. The things that people don't recognize are going to, stay with you do. And, it became a lot very early on.
It was a different conversation back then because people freely talked about dieting. I'm sure she was just trying to support you in your journey at becoming an amazing ballerina. And I think every mom who took their kid to Weight Watchers didn't really understand the effect and the impact that would have on them. Like they were just trying to support their children. And so many people have that story. And my mom signed me up for Weight Watchers. And I don't think that there was, you know, they didn't mean to do any harm. They probably thought they were like, hey, this is what's available for help out there. And lucky for me that I can sign my kid up to even do this in the first place. And they didn't really understand the impact that it was going to have. But what kind of impact has it had? Because you say from there that, you know, you've been dieting and over-exercising and berating yourself for failing and gaining weight back basically ever since.
Yeah, it's true. Before I started, first of all, I stopped growing at age 11. So like my height has been constant through this entire process. I am 5'1" if I do this. So like, I'm little bitty. But within that, so this entire process, I think my weight has varied by about 80 pounds, which is a lot when you're short. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a lot. I've been very, very small and I have been very not, in the same short little body. I knew it had done damage to my metabolism because I got to a point where I felt like I couldn't physically eat any less at one point. I don't know why I keep using the phrase core memory, but that's what's happening today. I guess that's where we're at.
I think it's huge to recognize. Yeah.
I have this core memory of being a teenager, and driving in my car, not my car. I didn't have a car when I was a teen, driving in the car that I was borrowing from my parents and having to pull over because, I'm just talking about ugly crying. Having to pull over because I was crying because I had eaten too much salad. And of course, you know, adult me and of course the me who has gone through the program, I recognize the impact of that and how I have empathy for that person. I carry her, all that version of myself, with me everywhere I go. She's part of who I then became, right? But I also know that, you know, like that it wasn't me being irrational in that moment. This is what diet culture had taught me I should be feeling. this is what diet culture told me I should be prioritizing. That there, that, and that it told me that I had failed at something because I had eaten too much salad.
Yeah. This is why I think it's such a, I'm glad that we're talking about this, because when I say to people, it's such a good practice to go back and track your weight journey, your history with food and your weight and what you've done and your thoughts about it. And, you know, you guests come on and I think, you know, they do, they're like, why did I feel like crying? I'm like, it's because you're sitting in the moment and reflecting on the feelings, and they're very real. And this is why it's so beneficial to go back and really sit quietly and track your history of dieting and truly understand how deep it is and how it can affect you on so many levels, so that you have an idea of what you're working with, not just mental, not just physically, but mentally. You know, it's not just eat less, exercise more. It's so much more than that. And you're talking years and years and years of, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, past trauma, whether it was mm-hmm. intentional or not. It's the baggage that you carry with you. And so everyone's dragging a big ass bag of luggage, you know, into this program. And then they get in here and they want it so bad and they want it done so quickly. And when their body isn't responding the way that they think that it should, based on how hard they're working, they're forgetting that it's not just what you're doing within this group. It's what you've done for years and years and years.
Exactly. I mean, because of my physical health, I knew walking into this program that I couldn't go hard at it. My body would not support that. And therefore I knew sort of going in, that my version of maximizing is really spending a lot of time with myself and really imagining my past self and sitting with her and sitting with myself now and recognizing my patterns. Like a lot of the mental work is where I put my maximization energy, because, I can't do as much movement as maybe the next 32-year-old over, you know? This is where the meat, that's a pun at this point about it, if we're in a food driven space, the meat of the program has been for me, has been really recognizing what I came to this with, and that it doesn't even like we have a sort of tendency, I believe, in society to say, well, my trauma around this can't be that bad because other people's trauma is worse or something. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that you don't carry it. That doesn't negate the power it had in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, you can honor what you came to and how impactful that was for you.
Did you listen to Dr. Dina Kara Schaefer
today? I did.
This morning? What a great conversation. And just really talking about how doing all the things isn't just checking the things off and doing all the things. Mm-hmm. It's recognizing where you are at and what you need and the things that you need to focus on. Can we talk about your physical health? Would you call it a disability that you have, a syndrome? How would you describe this?
So I do call it a disability and a chronic illness. Not all chronic illnesses are disabilities. Not all disabilities are chronic illnesses. Mine happens to be both. Because the definitions of disability just sort of say that it's something that impacts your ability to move through the world in a normal way. Mm-hmm. And, it sure do. I have a hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a genetic connective tissue disorder. My connective tissue just wasn't made right on the genetic level, and nothing can teach my DNA how to make it any better. but your connective tissue impacts is part of all of your systems, including your digestive system. Like, most of your guts are connective tissue, honestly. So it's not just that it, you know, makes me sort of wobbly and makes my joints dislocate, but, you know, like, digesting is hard. My veins don't contract well as well as most people's do to push the blood where it needs to be in my head. So it sort of is systemic. But I think the TLDR, the sort of rundown of all of that, is that my body is sort of under stress trying to function a lot. My inflammation, my baseline inflammation levels are high because it's just sort of to trying to exist. It's like, wait, how do we do this? Nobody move. That's sort of the energy. And that's the reality of my body. And that there's no, that's not really a sort of positive or negative thing. Like the way that the symptoms in and of themselves can affect my day-to-day life, that can suck, but it is just like, to me, it is as much a part of my body as like my hair color.
Okay. But I'm going to just give some props here because you've gone and lost 40 pounds doing the program and we've talked about inflammation. We've talked about, you know, all the reasons why your weight might be slower to move. This doesn't make it easy for you. Chronic pain, random joint dislocations, fainting. You've had to have some heart surgery. Mm-hmm. You know, inflammation obviously is a huge one. Your body just acting beyond your control. But I love what you say here. You've learned not to have expectations of what it will do. And when the scale isn't moving, it isn't failure on your part or your body failing you. It's just part of the process. So, you know, a lot of people have issues that they need to deal with that it sucks, whether it's health issues that they're dealing with or, you know, whatever is slowing them down when it comes to being able to focus on the things that they need to focus on. It sucks. But how do you move past that? Because I think a lot of people, maybe because yours is a more serious, there's nothing you can really do about it situation. So you've learned to accept it. Whether it's someone who has thyroid issues, they're a diabetic, or they have inflammation, or they have food sensitivities, whatever that might be. How do you reconcile that?
Ooh, that's the big question in all of disability justice. When you're really facing something that is a sort of health change, I think, which is was something that I believe, like if we are all lucky enough to live long enough, we all eventually will.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really normal to have a grief feeling when you're grieving the person that you thought you could be, the dream that you had that changes, and you're grieving your past self. And that is normal and part of the process. But grief is powerful and deep and a lot to work through. But we do, hopefully, move through it, right? And we come to a point where we have learned to live without the thing we've grieved. I believe in cultivating sort of joy as a practice, as an action item that you can do. 'Cause it's very hard to just change your mindset because you want to. That is not really a thing.
Yeah.
But you can say, okay, well, what does joy actually mean to me in my life? What does that really look like? Not as a sort of vague idea, but what is the thing that brings me joy here and now? Is that a small thing? Is that I want to go out on my balcony when it's sunny and read Lord of the Rings for the 15th time? Because it totally is that for me.
Right.
Or is that building a life that sort of generally puts you in a position of more support, of more access? That's what that looks like to me. Mm-hmm. And when you're doing a program like the Livy Method, you're spending so much time imagining your why, right? Or that's what we should be doing. And our why may not fundamentally be just attached to weight, right? Like, it's attached to your sense of self. It's attached to the way that you move through the world. It's attached to the way that you experience food. It's attached to the way that you experience your own self-worth. Like, it can be more expansive. And I think, like, as I said, that's where the meat of the program is to me, was where weight loss interacts with all these other aspects of our lives. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that's great. That's a great, you know, you're just sort of encompassing that, you know, it means different things to different people, mm-hmm. and people, different people are struggling for different reasons.
Exactly.
And you have to make it make sense to you. And your mm-hmm. why is really important in terms of like, that's really your motivating factor is you may have to do things that you don't enjoy doing, try to find joy in them. At the end of the day, you're doing them because you have a goal or something that you're trying to reach or trying to something to achieve. Can we talk about your patterns? Because you would drop, I mean, obviously you've been successful. You lost 40 pounds. Mm-hmm. You would drop and then you would have really long plateaus, like mm-hmm. up to 7 weeks.
Yeah. Like How did you, super long.
Yeah. And so would you remember being frustrated? Were you frustrated? Did you just like, what did you do when you were on a 7 week plateau? Why are you still here?
Well, I mean, you do feel all the things, even because here's the thing, coming to a point when you are aware that, you know, it's a process, that the plateaus are good for you and all of that stuff. That's all like sort of stuff that you can know academically, but in the moment you're going to feel some things.
Yeah.
Some stuff is going to come up, right? Mm-hmm. And the individual reminders day to day are so valuable for that. Like, that's one of the reasons I said all those attentions, just to sort of say it to myself. The things that I know are true, like, you need this plateau. This is telling you that your body is probably under stress in some capacity, you know? Like, but yeah, I've had all the feels. I think the great thing that this program sort of invites you to do is not to say, well, that feel is garbage, because no, but to say, okay, you're having a feel. Let's sit with it. Let's take some time for it and give yourself space to feel frustrated that I have been within the same 3 pounds since the third day of this program. At some point I'm like, you know, I find that funny, you know, all sorts of stuff. But if you sit with that and go, okay, well, do we know why? Well, yes, I know why. My body is just going to, my body really do be doing shit. And also, you know, I'm currently directing 3 different operas. I'm going to be in one of them as well. Like, I think there might be some stress in my life, you know. You sit with that and go and say, okay, well, why? And then is there something that some place for me to give myself more space to feel that? Is there, and like, what is the next sort of, I like action items. Next sort of action item that I can add to this that may help me move through this frustration moment, and not dismiss it or shove it away, but simply move to the point where I'm, you know, back to feeling open. Yeah.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
How do you not, because I think what happens is that like, that's ideal. People like the idea of that, but the frustration builds and then the frustration builds and then the frustration builds. And it's just building and building and building where you have the wherewithal to look at, okay, what's going on? What can I do? I love that here you say you've come to learn that the work that you're doing when the scale isn't moving is going to result in weight loss somewhere down the road. But how do you maintain a positive, for lack of a better word, outlook and keep showing up day after day after day?
Well, I am sort of lucky in this in this sense. I am sort of obnoxiously positive just as a human person. I am a ray of sunshine. Thank you.
You are a whole vibe. You are.
Thank you. So there's a certain amount of it that I just know that I'm lucky. I am a happy person. I'm fundamentally that. And I can give insights into what my brain is doing when that happens. And I can share my pieces of advice. But if someone's brain is not doing happy, their brain is not doing happy, you know?
Whoa. Wow. I think because I'm so like hyper-focused, I like to stay in my lane, like weight loss. And then we think, of course, that people are being frustrated. Of course they are with the scale and it's making hard. But you're right. Your mindset, I wouldn't think like the key to some people's weight loss journeys in terms of following through is happiness, is in being happy. If you're focusing on your happiness or trying to find joy or the things that are going to make you happy, then your whole outlook about everything that you're doing, it's all affected by that.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's true. It's so true.
So being frustrated isn't sometimes just like, you know, festering in your funk and being mad about what you ate or didn't eat or what happens with the scale or not the scale. It's all the other things in your life. Wow.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Your brain will carry these things. I mean, I'm a singing teacher, and singing is a very personal thing that is about identity, and it's about because your voice is part of you, and we can't just go in and say this muscle should go this way and this way. So I spend a lot of time like talking to people about how are you actually doing today, not in the Canadian "Hi, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?" but like how are you actually doing today. Mm-hmm. So I spend a lot of time with how the way that you perceive the world, the way that you move through the world, and the way that you that your brain just sort of naturally interacts with the world, it affects the way that you do little things, and then the way those little things can affect the brain too. Anyway, so your lane is also my lane, I guess.
I love it. Can I ask you a question, a personal question?
Sure.
Losing 40 pounds, did that affect your voice?
Yeah, it totally can. For me, it hasn't been enormous vocally yet. I know that I have some friends who want to lose weight and have a lot of weight to lose, and they worry about it changing their voice because cords are such tiny little things. They're so itty bitty. And your body will put fat all sorts of places, right?
Yeah.
And it can change. It isn't to say it hasn't changed. I think it has, not enormously, but yeah, it totally can. It totally can. And I have another maybe 25 to 30 to lose.
Okay.
I think. So it may that I may see more. But here's the thing with opera. Sounds like we're going off topic, but I promise we're coming back. Opera is sort of singing without having chosen a style to me. If you just learn technique of how to make the chords vibrate the way that they are long enough, you just sort of turn around and you look around and you're like, I guess I'm an opera singer now. this happened to me. That's how I became an opera singer. So like you may hear it more, depending on what type of on how you are producing the sound, because some types of singers are by their nature, and there's nothing better or worse, it's just different, or by their nature, like doing more things to the chords to make the sound. Whereas my job as a opera singer is to sort of put the air through the chords and then just let it go. Let it be as much possible. So you actually really hear the body in opera. You may not hear the shape or size of the body in other genres.
So you'd have to be really in tune with your body when it comes to.
Mm-hmm. You really do. That's one of the things you cultivate in singing is a real understanding of this, of the signals your body is giving you. I mean, they're different signals than say like my hunger signals, but I have sat with that too. Like, wow, I feel very blessed to have come to this from singing, because I've spent so much time inside me thinking about what is this doing? Because not every little component involved in singing has as many nerve endings as others. So I can't feel this as well as that, but I have to get a sense of what all these other things are doing. No, the people on the podcast won't know what my hands are doing, but I guess neither do I. you really have to build an awareness of, if this part of me is talking to me in this way, maybe it actually is referring to something different.
Mm.
It might actually do that, you know?
Well, that awareness, not just when it comes to singing, and the type of singing that you do, or, you know, with your,
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome,
with that, yeah. You'd be hyper-focused. You'd mm-hmm. be hyper in tune with your body. So I could see how that part of it factored into the program and the process.
For sure.
And that just sort of this innate knowing and mm-hmm. calm confidence in your body being so in tune.
But at the same time, there's still so much to learn, because the body is mm-hmm. so, I'm such a big nerd about this. When you go off on like nerdy sort of the science of weight loss tangents, I'm like, I feel this in my soul. I am just as nerdy about the body science stuff. It's just a different like subset. I still had to go and still do occasionally, like after doing this for, you know, over a year, sit it down and go, okay, what actually does that mean? What like there's, because fundamentally, like you can have practice, and you can have practice with sort of how you're listening, but listening to this subsystem when it's doing the X versus Y, you're still going to have to learn it. It's not always easy. Sometimes I'm like standing there looking at my torso going, what are you telling me? What do you want from me?
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's like, a lot.
And Dr. Dina earlier today was talking about things that you are sort of constantly learning. That is mm-hmm. something that is part of you that you will be learning again and again, because that is the recurring thing for you. And I think there are ways in which learning to listen to your body, learning to be really in tune, is something that we are forever learning.
Yes. Because
the body changes.
Yeah. And life changes.
Life changes.
You're constantly changing and evolving. Oh my goodness. God, this time went by so quickly. I'm just cognizant of the time. Your tips for the program, tips for someone.
Sure. Finishing. I mean, I think I'm probably preaching to the choir here, because the people who are listening now are the people who are doing this, and the people who are listening later are doing this. But for me, it's the lives and it's the podcasts. I mean, I'm a theater person, and I'm on the West Coast. I'm in Vancouver. I can't listen to any of the lives live, because I don't go home until like midnight from mm-hmm. rehearsal half the time. Mm-hmm. But taking the time to rewatch them, because they're there, to re-listen to them when I'm driving home, that's so valuable. And not having the pressure to catch up. Just do.
Yeah.
Because you'll hear the right thing at the right time, no matter what, right? You'll internalize the right thing at the right time. But it's here in these discussions where we're chatting about the reality of the program, the reality of the challenges, etc. That's the heart of the program. Like, there's a reason you say that if you just did the basic food plan and never did anything else, you'd lose weight. Like that's true. That is forever true. But the examination, the stuff that really makes you more aware, more in tune with your body on a sort of a more profound level, a more radical, if I may put it that way, level. Okay. That's here. That's in Spill the Tea. That's in your lives. That's in your sessions with Dr. Dina and Dr. Beverly and all the other special guests. That's where I was saying this to Kim when I was meeting her last week, that like, I the posts are so valuable, and the happy little videos of you in the set kitchen are amazing. But this is where people do their ugly crying because someone said something magical that hit them at the right time. And it's so, this is, it's here. Be here. You don't have to be here every day and for the entire thing, but take the time when you have the capacity. That's my advice.
That's some great advice, because what it's the stuff that's not on paper.
Exactly.
It's the stuff that's not on paper. That's where the real work is, the insight, the resonating moments. And this is why I love having these segments with very real people with a variety of different backgrounds and, you know, things that they are dealing with or working to overcome and different amounts of weights that they're looking to lose. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I think it's that real insight from real people. I cannot let you go. And I feel like a horse's ass for even asking and putting you on the spot, but you've got to sing a little bit for us. Just a
oh
tiny
my goodness.
Bit. Can you sing a little something for us?
Oh my goodness. Wow. Normally you warm up for these things.
I'm sure.
Okay. Well, let's see if I can move back a little bit so I don't blow the mic out. Cause here's the thing with opera is that when you're learning to sing opera, what you're learning to do is turn your skull into an echo chamber. Like, you know what it sounds like when you stand in a parkade and everything goes, wah? That's kind of what we're doing with our head, which means that we don't need mics.
Okay.
We're really loud. So I'm going to have to move back. Let's see if I can give you a something. Woo! There you go. That's my warm up.
All right.
Okay, you can meet the rest of my room. Oh, mio bambino caro, mi piace bello
meno. Oh my, why did I instantly... something happened to the mic there, but did you guys just start crying? Why do we instantly start crying when we hear I'm crying? Why do we instantly start crying when we hear opera? What is that about?
It is, I think there's a profundity to the human voice when you allow yourself, permission to take up space.
Hmm. Oh, gosh.
We as women in particular, how young were you? You may not remember it like the actual instance, but how young were you, do you think, when you were first told to be quiet?
Oh, just don't do that. Don't, that's embarrassing. Sit down, shut up. That's the story of my life.
Exactly.
Honestly, and no disrespect to my parents, but I was always too loud, too much, too everything for everybody.
Yeah. And, a lot of the journey that we go on when we're learning to sing and learning to come to our voices, honestly, is allowing ourselves to take up space, give ourselves permission to be loud. We should be. We are designed as humans to have our voices carry at each other across the savannah as we team hunt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason babies are so loud. They need to be heard because they need our help. We are designed to be loud creatures. And sorry, it's the same. It's all the same stuff. It's all the same. Like your body is valid and allowing yourself to be where you are and who you are and where you're at is the key. It's all weight loss.
I think it's beautiful because I think a lot of people, when they're overweight, thinks that they have to make themselves small.
Yeah.
And that they're not worthy of taking up the space that they're entitled to take up. And now you got me. I'm going to go into the ugly cry. My goodness, Robin. What? You know, so many thanks from people who are joining us live. Thank you for sharing your story. You are a beautiful soul. You really are. I love this conversation today. I love having conversations in a way that just approach the same topic from a variety of different angles. And this conversation with you today was just, it was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was really nice and really insightful and very personal to you. So I just want to thank you for taking the time to share with us today.
And thank you for making the space for us. This community is so open and welcoming of people's reality. I know that a lot of the stuff that people will share in the comments and in the teas may not be something that they would tell to like even a close friend, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's personal and profound. And that's not thing, particularly as Canadians. We don't love to get into that, the meat of that. We love small talk.
It's, yeah.
But this is so much, this is so much more powerful to have the space to say and explore yourself with community of people who will give you the space to do that. So thank you for making it.
Oh, you're welcome. It is personal and it's profound, mm-hmm. right? I think that's it. Drop the mic, especially, you know, with all the work that people are doing with this program and this process. It is personal and profound. Robin Hahn, my goodness, please let us know where we can find you. We can add the information to the top of the Spill the Tea segment where they can go see you, go see your performances, where people, I know you have your Instagram account.
Yes.
If you don't mind, you can share.
Sure. I'm at Robin Hahn Sopran, which is the German word for soprano. And you just make it rhyme with Hahn, Hahn Sopran, on Instagram and on YouTube. I make YouTube about opera disability, LGBTQ stuff, cats and tea.
Oh, I love it.
If you're in the Vancouver area, you can come say hi to myself and Adette, both Livy Losers,
at
the Pirates of Penzance production from the North Shore Light Opera Society in May. Can go look.
Did you hear that, Tony? We got to book some tickets. We got to. Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Have like a Livy party, just a whole Livy Loser party in the audience. It'd be amazing. It'd be so cool.
I love it. All right, it's a date. Robin Hahn, thank you so much. Thanks again for joining. Just honestly, my pleasure. It's been amazing.
Thank you so much, Gina. It's a joy.
Oh my goodness. Come on. There's going to be a whole vibe. You know, with all of these Spill the Tea conversations, I have a sense of who I'm going to be speaking to and a little bit about their story and their journey. But, you know, when people come on, we have the opportunity to connect. And just like Robin said, it's really about connection. You know, we're all trying to wake up every day and just do our best and lose this weight finally and freaking forever and, you know, deal with all the feels and all the things that we have to work through along the way. And I just want to say again, thank you to Robin and all of our guests that we've had on and the guests we're going to have on in the next couple of weeks for really just taking the time to share. It's not an easy thing to do. I hope that you're also enjoying this week. I know we didn't get into talking about this week with Robin, but our new tweak this week, our revamp, Kim and I are going to break it down. We're going to talk more about it tomorrow for our tweak this week conversation at 12 p.m. If you can't join us live, make sure you take time. You want to invest the time in this tweak this week because we're going to be doing it again next week. Spoiler alert. So hopefully you will join us then. Thanks for joining me tonight. And thanks for joining me tomorrow. And thanks for joining the program and still being here in week 9. Have an amazing rest of your day, everyone. Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.